Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a very exciting, we've changed our format, and we're talking about successful marriages and how to build a marriage. And we had an opening program on that subject yesterday. It's fascinating. And me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave is the chaplain here of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio, a pastor of many, many years, along with his music career. He has really provided some major insight to some of these issues on a solid marriage. And I can't think of a more wonderful subject that applies to those who are married or plan to be married or have been married and wondered if there was something that they did wrong that created some difficulties. Well, let's dissect some of those issues and see if we can't make improvements in our life. Carefully choose a home church that reflects your Christian beliefs. That's a major, major issue that faces people, especially when they first get married when they're young. Because a lot of people choose a church because it's close by and it's convenient, or some people might choose a church because it's well publicized or well known. Well, you know, your church really reveals your priorities, so you have to select that carefully. And I'm not going to try to tell you that one denomination is better than another. You have to decide that for yourself. But recognize the pastors whose counsel you're going to be adhering to. Is there counsel from the heart? Is it inspired by the Holy Spirit? You should choose a pastor who is a true spiritual mentor, unleashing a new passion for the Word of God. That's what's important to you. Make your church the center of your activities, of all of your interest and your time, and what are you going to be doing with your extra time beyond your work environment or your home commitments. Always, always make the best of your spiritual life the first priority of your life and your attention. Discern what involvement and time the Holy Spirit wants you to invest into your church family and goals. You might want to teach. Maybe you want to sing in the choir or host a monthly breakfast for your business persons that are in your church or whatever activity you prefer that you're good at and you'd like to share it with them. Please do so. Your church should be your mentorship center. Never trivialize the decisions that you decide the quality of your life. And that's all based on your church and that church's foundation. Second to none, it cannot be overlooked. Any questions that reveal your respect for the opinions of your partners need to be addressed if you want to have a successful marriage. Your mate is your personal confidant. You choose them to be your best friend, and their counsel is very critical. Your passion to pleasure is contagious. When you master the art of pleasure towards your partner, you will unleash an indescribable influence in your environment. Your questions reveal that you care. Create a personal list of questions that you want answered about pain in your life or the memories that you hold dear, the dreams that you have, or the fears that you might have. Remember, your mate is your best friend, so you have to share all with them. Your willingness to listen. Boy, I think that's probably the key word to a successful marriage. Your willingness to listen becomes a portrait of your humility. Listen long enough for the hidden emotions to be expressed. Listen carefully enough to collect sufficient understanding of the issues. Listen accurately so that you can assess the true needs of your mate that nobody else has been able to meet. Questions you ask decides the answers that you discover. You have no right to anything that you have not pursued. David, that's probably one of the key elements to finding togetherness. You have to work together for what you want as a team. And if you don't work for it, you don't deserve to have it. You got to work at peace and happiness. And I would imagine as a counselor, when people come to you with their difficulties and they try to overcome life's shortcomings or their disagreements, the job of a pastor to smooth over those issues can become rather complicated. Do you have any advice that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
We had a good marriage for 59 years. We've had some challenges. One of the big challenges came when we were always telling everybody how to be successful at this and successful at that. And I remember when my brothers and my sister, there's five of us, and I was the oldest. After I'd been married for a while, they called. One of my brothers called and said, "Dave, we're sitting here at the house. We're just wondering, Mom and Dad don't know how to help us. They don't know how to help us get a job. They don't know how to, they don't have any money for us. We don't know how to get money. We don't have a car. We're stuck. We're just sitting here like, ooh, what's happening?" And we decided we should call you. You're the one that got out early and you got into courage and you're traveling the world and you're married and have three kids. And what can you do for us? Man, I said, you caught me off guard. I said, what do you really want me to do? They said, well, if you really want to know, we want to come and live with you. I said, my wife and I, we have three kids, and you want four more want to come into our house and live with us, and you want me to get you a job, and you want me to challenge you. You want to go to school. You might want to be a preacher or what? And I looked at Judy, and I was afraid. I said, Judy, my brother and my three brothers and my sister want to move in with us. And gracious as Judy was, she said, you know, what? So what? Bring them. Let's help them. They came and lived in my house. And I went by the bakery, and there was 40 trucks out there. Trucks from the bakery, and the smell caught my attention. I smelled that brand new bread, and I pulled the car in, and I said to the manager, I said, I got three brothers, they need a job, can you help them? And he said, man, they can start tomorrow. I said, I'll bring them in here. They said, well, we start at 4 a.m. I said, well, that's gonna be the first problem. I got him a job, and all three of them worked at the bakery driving their truck every day. My sister came. She got a job for the government. She worked at the government office.
Civil service job.
Yes.
Okay.
She ended up going to Bible school. Uh-huh. She was going to marry a preacher. My other three brothers, they wanted to know how to save money and what they're doing. I said, look, here's what you want to go to Bible college? They said, yeah, that might be good. Yeah, you did that, and you're, look where you are. So I said, look, you got to save $1,000, and when you get $1,000 in the bank, I'll call the president because I know him personally. I'll call him and say, I have a brother who wants to come to school. He only has $1,000, but that'll get him started. He said, you're right, Dave. Get it. You call me the day they get $1,000, and we'll bring them to the school and give them their education. It'll be a start. Well, my brother Paul, he came, and one day he said, Dave, thanks for taking me to the bank. I got my own account. I'm saving my own money. And I'm living like, wow, I'm happy. I'm going for the $1,000. I got 500. How's that? I said, boy, you're doing great, Paul. Hang in there. And, you know, the day came when he came and said, Dave, I got $1,000. I said, praise God. We'll call the president. Well, we set the date. The weekend before Paul left for school, with his $1,000, he came to me and said, Dave, I got to go see a friend for the last time. I got to go down to West Virginia. There's a friend down there that I know from past experience, and I'm going to go there and see him for the weekend. I said, good. Call me. Be sure you're back for Monday. So he left Friday. I didn't hear from him. Monday night, he called, and he said, he was crying profusely. Dave, I need to talk to you. I said, where are you? You're supposed to be home by now. He said, I didn't tell you the truth. He said, I didn't go to West Virginia. I went to New York City, and I went to the racetrack. The horses, I learned all about them, and I knew I could win money. I could double my 1,000 to 2,000 in 2 days. He said, I got a dollar in my pocket, and it's all gone. And he's still crying. I'm sitting there saying, Lord have mercy, what do we do now? And he finally said, what do you suggest I do, Dave? You know, when you're a Christian, God builds in each of us a treasure. And he fills that full as through the years. And his ways of taking care of us. And he builds into our lives that, and all we do when somebody calls and needs something, we pull that treasure out and we say, okay. And when he said, hey, Dave, what do you think? And I pulled out mercy. I could be a man of mercy here, real mercy, or I could have destroyed him.
Yeah.
I was really upset. I could have destroyed him. Yeah. I said, you got enough gas to get home? He said, yeah. He said, I'm hungry. I don't have any money to eat. I said, that's not my problem. That's yours. But if you can come home, we'll start you again, and we get another 1,000, and the next year you can go to school. He said, I'm on my way. My brother pastored 5 churches. Could have been a bum for the rest of his life if I had not taken the treasure God gave me.
Yes.
Now, you have treasures in your life, too, that you give.
That's right.
You have ministry that you give out every day on this radio station. You have treasures that you just bring out to everybody that comes in touch with you. You're a contagious guy. Everybody's glued to you when they come around, and they could ask you for anything, and you'd search out before 4 o'clock, and everybody leaves. You'd have to start searching out what to give them, and in the future, what they become could be your credit. The 4 churches that my brother pastored, they were treasures. I took my music group to all of them. We sang there every year. We'd go to Paul's churches. Those are memories that I could never forget. And if you're listening today and you don't have the use of the treasures because you don't know God, you don't know the glory of God, you don't know the value of knowing that God can use the treasure that's in you to help somebody that down and out, down, finished, over. It was so stupid for my brother to spend $1,000 on the racetrack and come to me again and say, Dave, I don't want to just live with you. I want to raise another 1,000. That puts Christians really through it, and you got to have God like never before. And so my whole family has been amazing. It's been an absolute amazing thing to me. We even brought a 13-year-old into our house who was homeless and lived with my 3 daughters. It was quite a scene. Am I talking? Are we on the
you
radio?
You go ahead. You go right ahead. Your story is quite stirring, Dave. And you have the microphone.
I don't even know what time it is or how many. What's going on? You know, when God put something in my heart, and you in this program turn on my memory book you can't believe.
Yes.
I never thought of things for years, and something that comes out of you gift that just comes right into my life, and bingo, I'm thinking about something I hadn't thought about in 40 years.
Well, thank you for giving me credit, but you should thank the Holy Spirit for stirring your heart and your soul. You have lived a mighty fine Christian life over the years. The wealth that you build, the spiritual wealth that you've built with your wife and your children is just second to none. I didn't know that you also had taken care of your brothers and sisters, all of your siblings looked up to you. And I too am the oldest of five, and I too have had many of my siblings living with me for some time period, some short time period, some long time period, but they've all been with me.
They all want to live with Gift.
Well, they did years ago.
No, Judy and I are going to move in.
Yeah, okay. I have room for you. Yes, but it's amazing, isn't it, that those of us who have committed our life to the Lord, we march to the beat of a different drum. We are able to avoid those temptations and shortcomings that the devil wants to put on our path. And you know, that's the difference between happiness and misery. Why do so many marriages fail? It's because they don't have that Holy Spirit living in their heart. And they don't communicate in a way that's effective in the eyes of the Lord. And those kinds of marriages are doomed for failure. So we have to focus on the favorable parts of our mate and look for all the bright, shining pieces. You have done that diligently, not only with your wife and children, but your entire family. Let's take a look at the other issues that are make up a happy marriage. How about you're looking at taking a closer look at your mate and their personality traits? You realize your mate is like nobody else. Your husband and your wife is one of a kind. And that's why you're married. Some quality was a magnet that attracted you. Additional great qualities developed into a current that swiftly moved you into intimacy and confidentiality. And you made a commitment. And you had a divine covenant of marriage. And I like to think of it as a divine covenant of marriage. It's very divine. It's God-inspired. And that's what was meant to be. If you take a close look and you list the seven favorable qualities of your spouse, document them. Write them down for your own personal journal. Do not trivialize any of them. Write them down. Make a little list, at least seven and more if you can do so. If any of these qualities were missing, would your life become painful? Could it happen in just one day? And in my case, the answer is true. Yes, it would. I could list all the fine qualities of my wife, and she is just a fantastic lady. I don't know how I would live without her. It would be very, very difficult. Any one of her qualities would come up short would be a major loss to me. Verbalize your recognition of those qualities to your mate. If you're going to make a list of seven great things that he or she means to you, well, discuss them with her and let her or him know how important it is. That's the seed of love. That's the seed of loyalty. And it will grow if you nurture it. Expect these divine laws of sowing and reaping to work in your favor. You sow love and respect and dignity, you can expect to reap love and respect and dignity. Your seed of love will grow and grow and grow forever. As Dave can attest to in his 59 years of marriage, your focus always decides your feelings. Loyalty is the proof of your character and your spouse's character. The purpose of forgiveness is change. Think of it in those terms. We all have these things that irritate us, and let's be honest, nobody is perfect. Well, those traits of your mate can motivate us to learn differently. Pain speaks. Pain talks. View every moment of irritation or pain or stress as a school of discovery. Words are pictures of information. Conversation imparts knowledge. Every human hurts somewhere, somehow, some way. Some strive to escape their inner pain through their work or alcohol or illicit sex or drugs or anger or something. So when the behavior of your mate agitates you or becomes infuriating, that's time for a learning time. Time to learn, time to listen, time to learn. Learn about what you expect of your mate. Are your expectations realistic? Were they expressed or unknown until this confrontation arise? Anger is usually disappointment. Learn the history of family disappointments. Often during quarrels and heated conversations, suddenly memories of childhood abuse or disappointments in a parent reoccurs. It reappears. It comes before you. So learn how you should begin praying for your mate. One wife went into a rage when her husband was late coming home from work. She imagined infidelity. The uncontrollable rage revealed roots of insecurity in the light of insignificance and unworthiness in her part. Well, that was from her childhood. See, this revelation forever changed the prayer focus of her husband. He became her faithful intercessor. They prayed together. Two are always better than one. Do you counsel people to, Dave, come together with their disagreements and try to talk them through? Do they come to you for advice on how to overcome these shortcomings?
Hey, every family has their problems. Siblings struggle with each other. And I noticed this week, this is an up-to-date personal experience. About 5 days ago, Judy came up with an infection on her big toe.
Uh-huh.
And took her to the doctor, and boy, you got to go to the hospital right now. Do not do anything else. Get in the car and go to the hospital. You've got to get started on fixing this toe. You're going to lose it. You're going to lose your foot, maybe your leg.
Ooh.
That's big words.
Oh, yeah, that'll get your attention, yes.
So we rushed to the hospital. Everybody that heard about it said, can we come visit? And I said, no visitor. Just let us have our privacy for a few days.
Yeah.
Well, our family doesn't believe in that. So the whole family came to the hospital. I mean, we had the end of the hospital. We made more noise than they've had there for years. We had conversations. We had laughter. We had tears. We had conversation. It was like Christmas and Thanksgiving when the whole family gets together. You know, Judy was in the bed recuperating from a operation on her toe. Here we were having a blast. We left closer than we've ever been before.
That's wonderful.
I sat there just stunned by who was coming in the door. Our grandkids would not have missed that for anything in the world. They traveled the miles to get there and said, "Lamp, we got to be in here to see Granny."
Yeah.
And what a time we had. We fixed ourselves for the future. We fixed ourselves for time together. We know how to talk to each other.
Yes.
We had the most interesting conversations. If I told you what we talked about, you would not believe it. So I'm not telling.
I understand that, sure. Family jokes and humorous experiences, and I understand all of that. Your family's no different than
the rest
of us.
Where are we going in the future? What are
exactly.
What are we going to do?
Sure.
What can we do next year?
Yes.
People are talking about it. Wow.
Sure.
I didn't even talk about that. So don't be afraid what the Lord can do with your family. He can put them together. He can change things. He can make the wrong right, and it'll be important to you. And it'll be today when I brought Judy home from the hospital and we were back in the house, it was tough there for 4 days for me. Man, where is Judy? She has conversation about everything. So she's here, and we're back to normal. Praise God.
That is great. So she's okay now. That's good. You see, that's the kind of counsel that we were talking about here in building in a happy marriage. Not only are you and your wife able to talk to each other, communicate, listen, plan together, but you involve your children and even your grandchildren. In the good times and the bad times, there you are making the very best of a difficult situation. And that's the Holy Spirit at work in your life, Dave. You are to be commended for being the patriarch of the family that's really leading them all through a godly Christian life. You are to be commended. I thank you for doing that. And if our listeners out there are trying to determine a way to make their lives better, you can mimic the characteristics you find in Dave Colonin. Those are the kind of things that build peace, comfort, happiness, healing, and wholeness with every one of us. I thank you, my friend. We've exhausted our time for the day. I must say bye-bye for now.
Great to be with you, Giff. Have a good one. Bye-bye.